You're listening to the Support Ops Hangout, episode 38. This is the Support Ops Hangout, a weekly discussion that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. If you've got customers, then this is your show. If you had a question you want us to tackle in a future episode, head over to supportops.co/ask and send us a message. Now on to the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Support Ops Hangout. This is our weekly discussion that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. I'm your host, Chase Clements, and we're going to start this week with our panel with Jeff, who is probably at least the luckiest guy in the world for this week, right, Jeff? At least this week. So a huge congrats on your recent engagement. How did everything go? She said yes, right?
She did say yes, although it took her a couple of minutes because she was making the Carolyn sound for a while. Yes, it went very well. Thank you, Chase.
Were there people standing around being like, he went to Jared? Oh, he went to Jared? Did you go to Jared?
No one has asked me that question yet. I did not go to Jared. There were people standing around for a while who were waiting for her reaction. And like I said, it took a couple of minutes, and then finally they started clapping, and I didn't know that they were there the whole time. So that was a little funny yet awkward. But
did somebody get it on film?
Oh yeah, it's all on film. You can see it on my blog if you want to see it. That's the sound.
That's the Carolyn sound right there. Speaking of Carolyn, how are you this week?
I am wonderful. Thanks. I missed you guys. I was in Florida visiting my lovely, fantastic grandparents, and then to New York to see my parents. So I'm really great. Happy to be back in California and excited for today. I like rapid fire.
Florida to New York just sounds like insanely warm and pleasant to just go.
It was, yeah. It was Florida to snow.
Yeah. How do you even pack like one bag for that?
Yeah, I'm getting slowly better at it, but yeah, by extending it, that's how.
And last but certainly not least, Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are things up where you are?
Going very well. We are seeing some spring outside, so it's nice.
It's fake. Just wait. It'll be cold again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it works. Saturday here was delightful, and then Sunday was like, no, it's cold, remember? Oh, so this week, like Carolyn mentioned, we're doing a new kind of format. We're calling it the Rapid Fire just because we're not really that great with names, or at least I'm not that great with names anyway. So the idea is basically we've been collecting all of your questions for the past 2-3 weeks or so, and now we're going to go through as many as we can in the space that we have. These are questions that typically wouldn't need like a whole show. I mean, I'm sure we could stretch it to a whole show, but that might be a boring 30 minutes for you. So instead, we're going to pack them into this Rapid Fire. And just kind of see how we get. So we're going to start with Carolyn on this one since you mentioned it earlier. The first question we got is from Diana. How do you make time for vacations and time away from work?
This is kind of a silly answer, but hiring more people. I didn't really do that until I had more people on the team.
What do you think, Chase Livingston? How do you take time away from work for vacations and things like that?
Probably the same answer. I mean, you know, as everybody knows, we have a pretty big staff at Automatic, so we're kind of able to be pretty flexible with that because there's usually somebody who can cover when I or somebody else is gone.
All right, so Jeff, smaller team here, how did you get away for the weekend and everything else when you had the engagement thing?
Well, I was on vacation. I was on a week-long vacation for that.
Yeah, a whole week. So, like, how did you manage to take off time from Wistia?
Well, we think it's pretty important that people take off vacation. But I know that Diana is a one-person support team, if I remember correctly. So
she is.
Thinking back to when that was my case, I didn't take much in the way of vacation. But if I had to, right, like if I was like, hey, this is a really important vacation, I need to take it. We knew that support was important enough that somebody else would cover for me, right? So whether that was Chris, the CEO, Brendan, the CTO, Ben, who is our COO, I mean, it doesn't matter the role. If you put enough importance on it, and the person who does it on a day-to-day basis is like, hey, someone died, right? Or like, I've been planning this for a year. I have to go on this trip. It shouldn't just fall on the floor. If it's that important, someone will pick it up. They will take the other stuff that they're doing and say, customers come first. So I'm gonna do that. So, you know, you obviously don't want to be doing that multiple times per month when you're a small team, right? I think when you're a small team, you're trying to be as scrappy as possible. But as you grow, or I guess I should say when you're super small like that, just take what you have to, I guess.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. And if you can't hire an extra person, that, everyone on support, like everyone in the company doing support is perfect for things like this, because you can pull them in to easily answer questions and cases and that kind of thing. So let them work support while you go relax in sunny Florida and then for some reason go to New York. For instance. All right, next question up. James. James asks, what's your favorite app that helps you be better at customer support? And we're going to start with Jeff on this one and go back down the line.
Oh, man. I would have to say, and it's just because it's, well, man, this is so hard. I didn't look at any of these questions in advance. I would say because of how recent the edition has been, I'm going to give the nod to Temper on this. Also, they added me as a testimonial on their page, so I feel like I have to say that. Temper has been fantastic. We grew without it, and what it's done for us since we added it is now when someone says, you know, how are you guys doing, or are your customers happy, not only can we say, yeah, I think so, and we're just kind of guessing based on their responses, but they've been given the opportunity to leave us anonymous feedback and have said overwhelmingly that they are loving the service that they're getting. And it also gives us places to improve, right? Occasionally we do get even smiley faces. Sorry, Temper adds those like little smiley faces or frowny faces at the bottom of an email. We may get smiley faces with feedback, ways we can improve. So in terms of scaling your support, you probably want something like Help Scout. But in terms of taking great support and making it even better or measuring it, use Temper.
Chase Livingston, what's your favorite app?
Since I'm pretty well focused on live chat right now, I would have to say Text Expander for me, just to be able to have some, oh, sorry, Carolyn, I saw the face, to have links and things like that need to be sent out, like, quickly, and especially in live chat, because, you know, time is of the essence, so common links and things like that, I just have, you know, a few key strokes, and I can, you know, get the whole link typed out for me. That really helps.
Carolyn, you were going to say Text Expander, which, by the way, was mine, too,
oh,
until this. So what's your backup?
I didn't think of a backup, but I will tell you that one of the apps that we use a lot is, I've talked about it many times before, it's Spark Central, and it's pretty expensive for a small team, but the features of it for managing, like, if you have a really high volume for Twitter mentions, and especially if you are trying to, especially if your brand name is also a word, and you're trying to sort through which tweets are for you and which aren't, Spark Central is a really great one.
And again, I'll throw in my two cents that Text Expander was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I would say Alfred is a fantastic app, too. It's kind of like this launcher search thing. I learned a couple of nifty tricks from John Lane over at Harvest, where you type in a couple of like letters inside Alfred, and it'll search your, like, in my case, it searches the Basecamp help site for exactly what I'm looking for. So if I don't have that link handy, I don't have to, like, click around a bunch to find where I can search for the help site for. I just do it in Alfred. So that's my pick. Next up, Chase Livingston, we'll start with you on this one. This is from Greg. And we'll start with the PS first, because that's just how I roll. He says, PS, great podcast and hangouts. So fantastic job, guys, from Greg. Greg asks, what advice do you have for those looking to get their first remote support position? So what do you think, Chase?
That's a tough one. I would say get some experience maybe before you try to do that. So I know at Automatic we really look at Number one, if you've had support experience, but if you haven't, hop in, you know, something like the WordPress.com support forums and start answering people's questions. Or, you know, if you're not familiar with WordPress, find somewhere, you know, Stack Exchange, something, you know, somewhere where you can answer questions that people have and, you know, can point to that and say, hey, you know, I do have experience with answering technical questions and that kind of thing. And then hopefully your employer of choice will look kindly upon that.
What do you think, Jeff? I know your Wistia is not big on remote, but if somebody was looking for a remote position, what would be the biggest advice you could give?
Well, two things, and they may be, you may be able to hit two birds with the same stone here, but we look at writing ability. We look at it very closely, so we ask people to write a lot. You don't really need to be in person to write, so you know, start a blog, and if you start a blog and you want to write about what you think is great customer service or where you think customer service is headed in, you know, we all have SaaS apps. Like if you think that customer service when it comes to SaaS is something that needs special attention, then write about that or write about your opinions on certain things related to making happy customers or whatever it is that you feel passionately about. And when you apply, I will look at those. And yeah, so you're right that we don't hire remotely, but I would certainly be looking at writing ability and your feelings about what you know constitutes great support and where support is going in the future. And I think if you nailed those two things, I would be happy hiring you without meeting you, if that helps.
Yeah, perfect. So Carolyn, what advice do you got for that person looking for their first remote job?
I wasn't sure if this was like remote specific or not. I was saying I kind of went down the wrong path with this, and I was going to suggest making nice with your local baristas. But now I realize it's more about getting the job and less about having the job. Honestly, I do a lot of hiring, and my advice would be to write into the support team. Because in Help Scout, I don't know about other apps, but when you apply for the job, I can see if you've contacted us before. And I will always look at those first. Like, it almost doesn't matter how like adorable you are in your email. If you were not wonderful in your email to us, then that's a more clear indication of like how you are over email than anything. So, and if you're not there at all, then that's fine. But it doesn't hurt you, but it doesn't help you. So I think it's great to write into the support team ahead of time and just say, like, either here I found something that I liked, or I have a question, or I have some feedback, or whatever it is, and just sort of get to know the team so that your name is familiar.
Neat. I didn't even think about that. That's awesome. I would just add that, you know, with remote positions especially, you're looking for people that can self-manage really well. So the more that you can prove that you can manage yourself without a lot of oversight, it always works in your favor for those remote positionings. I know that when I look at somebody that we're thinking about hiring, the first thing I look at is what else are they doing besides their job? So if they're, you know, heading up some kind of charity or working with a nonprofit or, you know, doing some kind of side work, that kind of thing, anything that shows me them managing their workload themselves, that's always a big plus for remote work. So that's our 2 cents. Next up from Diana, what do you do when you have days with unusually low caseloads? So Jeff, we'll start with you on this one. What do you do when emails are just kind of slow for that day?
good question.
Besides, like, just ride your little scooter thing around the Wistia office.
Oh, darn it. Okay. New answer. I have a very, very long to-do list, things that people will say, hey, is there any way we can do this? And I will say yes, and I will add it to my to-do list, or they will do it for me. And on days when I do not have anything else scheduled, I look at what is in my immediate list, and I will organize that and pick something off the top of the pile. A lot of the time, honestly, I'm working on some sort of project with other people here in the office, right? So, like, for example, right now we're revisiting our pricing. I'm working on that instead of our caseload, and luckily I have a team to help me out. But back when that wasn't the case, I had a long list of, like, you know, documentation to add or documentation to update, or geez Louise, all kinds of stuff. I can't really think of individual projects off the top of my head, but just keep yourself a good list and get some practice context switching.
Jason Livingston, when you when the live chat's going to dip off, if they dip off anyways, what other things are you looking at? What other things are you doing outside of that live chat?
I can't remember the last time it ever dipped off, but we can always turn up the throttle. But if I need a break or if I just need something else to do, documentation is always something that needs updating around WordPress because things change all the time. And also, thinking about live chat is a big push for us this year. So really just spending some time thinking about better ways we can implement it and ways we can improve to help users better. So kind of a meta support thinking situation.
Meta support. I like that.
Yeah.
Carolyn, what are you doing when the email queue is kind of low that day?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have only seen this happen once, and 3 days later, we realized that it was because our form was not working, and so we had to send an email to everybody saying, oh, sorry, you emailed us days ago, and we didn't get it. So, yeah, if you suddenly email drops off, check your online form. But a more helpful answer, more relevant, is... probably something that I find that is one of the most valuable activities that I can do now that I'm not focusing much on the inbox is actually going through closed emails because in general the people who are responding to the emails just don't have a whole lot of time to really process each one. And so something that I really love to do when I have some time, which I don't do as much as I should, is go through the closed emails and sort of pick up on signals for the product team because one area of, it's really easy to document bugs, and a lot of times we do that and we do it very, very well, but it's more the feature, not bug stuff that maybe is confusing or is just we're kind of down the wrong track for the way what a button says or the way something works. And if people are just asked, they might not even provide it as feedback. They might be saying, here's an area of confusion. They might just be saying, how does this work? And then we send them an answer and we feel like we've solved it, but really solving it even better would be to let the product team know that this area is causing confusion. So that's kind of a dreamy way to spend an hour if you have it.
That sounds like a fun hour.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you can learn just going through a couple of the most recent back and forth.
I would say say some thank yous to customers. If it's nothing but handwritten notes or emails, or if they're a bigger customer, send them a gift of some sort, Amazon, send it right out to them as a gift, that kind of thing. Big stuff, small stuff. I mean, even and so we think of these things as like inconsequential. Like we just write a note and send it to a customer in like good old fashioned snail mail, but it still has a lot of impact on customers and just kind of shows that you're there and that you're thinking about them. So that's what I usually do with my downtime: send some thank you notes out to customers. Next up, let's see. Carolyn, we'll start with you on this one. Kimberly asks, what's your favorite way to personalize an email? Let me start over. Sorry. What's your favorite way to personalize an email reply to a customer?
Well, this is sort of a gimme, but obviously using the person's name. I think it was Dale Carnegie who said that that's the most beautiful word in any language is somebody's own name. Mm-hmm. But another thing that I think is actually surprisingly relevant is taking a new screenshot of, if you're saying click here, then click here, take the screenshot of their actual account as opposed to your own or a generic one or like reusing one in your snippet. I find that somehow people seem to really feel like you've really gone above and beyond for them if the screenshot is their own account.
Absolutely agree. Jeff, what do you got for personalizing emails a little bit more?
Love it. I think Carolyn nailed it. The only thing I would add to that is I feel like we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, is you meet them on their emotional level too, right? If somebody writes in and they're like super excited and bubbly, a good way to personalize your email back to them is to meet them on their emotional level and say, it's so great to talk to you. Use an exclamation point. Use a couple. Who cares? And make them feel like, I don't know, they're like talking to a friend over coffee who is able to like better facilitate that conversation rather than just saying, here's the link, have a great day. And they're kind of like left feeling, I don't know, like they were excited to write in and now they're kind of bummed out. So beyond using the person's name and using it a couple of times, not just in the salutation, but in like maybe the closing as well. And definitely taking a screenshot of their account, that's brilliant. But also, you know, trying to take advantage of some of the hints that they give you about their current emotional state and then meeting them there. So I guess it goes the other way too, that if they're really concerned and they're coming to you in like this very anxious state, pick your words very carefully. Take a little bit of extra time to personalize it by maybe setting them at ease about, you know, you're not going to be charged more, or your, you know, really important thing is still safe, or something that may seem tangential to you, but to them it's like very core to their problem.
Chase, what do you think? It's a little different with live chats, but there's still some ways you can personalize those, right?
Yeah, and even with emails, you know, I like to take a look at the person's blog and really comment, like if they have a cool design or something like that, and say, hey, you know, that's a really awesome looking site you've built, or hey, your most recent post on whatever, it was really good. I agree, and this is why, you know, or something like that. Just take some time to look at their content and let them know that maybe they're on the right track if they're new to building a blog or a website.
Yeah, mine's a little bit off that one too. It's look at their domain and their email address. If you see they're from like a specific university or college, you know, throw in something that maybe is relevant to the college. So, for instance, I'm a big Auburn University fan. So if somebody writes me from Auburn, I throw in a War Eagle just to kind of close it. Go Tigers would be something. I talked with somebody from Vanderbilt last week. So it's Go Doors since they're the Commodores.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah, if you see that, go ahead and let them know. If it's somebody that kind of writes in, not frequently, but, you know, writes in a little bit more so you might know them a little bit better, check out their Twitter feed or something, see if they're really interested in something. You know, if they're big into sports, like around March Madness, for instance, maybe throw in something about, hey, I hope your team wins, yada, yada, that kind of thing. So just, you know, glean these little tips and tricks from things to make it a little bit more personalized. Next up, Brian, and we'll start with Jeff on this one. So Brian asks, what's a good gift idea for customers? Just something small to send them as a surprise.
I think we already nailed it with the handwritten note.
Don't you have some like Wistia t-shirts to unload or something?
Yeah, we send a good amount of t-shirts, especially once we figured out how to automate the process. we send a good amount of t-shirts. We've sent a lot of thank you notes. If there's something that's sort of specific to your vertical or your product's interest that you can think of, so there's a customer that I'm looking at sending like a GoPro right now, actually, because they've been sort of like flirting with setting up an account with us for a really long time, and they finally took the plunge, and I feel like it was a major, major investment for them, and this is a way to say kind of like, We're paying attention, you know. We notice that stuff. So that wouldn't necessarily fall into small. And actually, t-shirts probably wouldn't either. They can cost you like $20 a pop. But I think a handwritten note. A lot of the times, people don't need anything from you. They just it's nice for them to feel like you're a business that actually cares and is paying attention and isn't just like thanks for the money. Like it goes to our massive bottom line or something like that.
I think I need to flirt with Wistia some more to look at a GoPro or something. Wow.
Yeah.
Chase Livingston, what do you think? Small gifts.
So there's definitely, you know, WordPress logos on all kinds of different swag that we can send out. But also, a lot of times if, you know, a customer's really had a rough time and we've finally gotten their issue solved or something, we'll say, hey, you know, I added another year onto your subscription, your premium subscription or something like that, just as a, you know, an apology and thanks for being a customer. You know, they don't have to worry about the however much money they paid us for the next year. And, you know, that's a small, easy way because it really isn't, you know, really hurting us that bad. So, you know, a t-shirt and or a thank you note is always good. But, you know, just bumping their subscription for a year or two can really make a user happy as well.
What do you think, Carolyn?
Yeah, same idea for t-shirts, stickers, that kind of thing. But I admit I'm really, really terrible at actually going to the post office. So something that I've seen that's nice, that's sort of immediate and doesn't have a high chance of me failing at it, is that have you seen this like tweet a coffee thing that you can do?
No.
I've never actually done it, but I've received it a few times and it's so awesome. And it's pretty fast, and you just you can just send somebody like a coffee drink from Starbucks. Despite the fact that Starbucks is somewhat of a black sheep, or I don't know what the right word is, but in the tech world, but everybody has one near them, and they also sell brownies. You don't have to eat coffee. But yeah, that's a cool way to just kind of say thanks without having it be 4 days and without having to spend $20 on a t-shirt or more likely forget to walk to the post office to mail it.
Yeah, I would throw in, take their email address and plug it into Amazon wishlist and see if anything pops up, because you never know, you might get lucky and they have some kind of public wishlist from Amazon out there and you can kind of browse through and look at something like that. I remember there was a guy who was really excited because he was using Basecamp with his daughter on a science project, and I found that he had a public Amazon wish list, and on it was this really cool science project thing for his daughter, so I bought it and sent it their way. Cost a lot of money or anything like that. So, you know, think about some of those like public wish list kind of things too, because usually it's linked to their email address and makes it easy to find.
I thought you were going to say, take their email, find the most annoying email newsletter that you can find, and sign them up for them. It's the gift that keeps on giving, and they'll never know you did it.
That's your surprise for next week.
You betcha.
It's my way of saying congratulations on getting engaged.
Thank you, Chase.
Oh, next up, we'll start with Carolyn. Brandon says, after a problem is wrapped up, a customer usually writes back with some version of thanks. Is emailing back just you're welcome enough, or is that too short?
No, I think it's enough. We do try and always have the last email, so I usually just say, like, you're welcome, and then you know where to find us if anything else comes up.
What do you think, Chase Livingston? How do you sign off on your chats?
Yeah, usually something like that. Glad we, you know, got this solved. Have a great day. Let us know if you need anything else.
Jeff?
Yep. Carolyn got it.
Oh, good. Okay. I didn't know where you were.
We all added something, so now that I think about it, maybe my answer is no, it's not enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, with me, I usually have a little fun with it. You know, when they write back and say thanks, I say something like, I forget what my snippet was for a little while. I know. It was, no problem. And if you have any other questions, let us know, except for questions about Alaskan vacations, because I have no idea. So
solid. That's a good one. That's cute.
Cute, fun. Gets you a smiley face.
I sometimes do the opposite of that. Like, any questions about your account, Buffer in general, or chocolate chip cookies? Like that type of thing.
So if you want to know what the meaning of life, the universe, and everything is, Carolyn's the person you want to ask.
Yeah. 42.
Yay, I'm glad you got that reference. Good job. Gold star. Oh, next one. Jeff, we'll start with you. Krista asks, what's one book that you would recommend people in customer support reading?
Oh, God.
One, not five, just one.
Well,
Desert cliche... Island with customer support people, one book.
I'm sure the cliched answer would be Tony Hsieh's Delivering Happiness book. I'm working my way through the Best Support is No Support book.
Damn it! You took my regular answer and my backup.
How many more? Wait, Livingston, just blink twice if I can pick yours. I can't tell if you blinked. Those are the two that I'm reading right now.
Oh, Carolyn, we'll give you a minute to think about yours. Chase, what do you got?
That's a tough question. I guess I hope I'm not stealing yours, Chase, but the books that the guys from 37 Signals have written are good for just companies in general. I don't know that they necessarily apply to customer support, but just understanding like startup culture and especially remote work and things like that. I think those would be really helpful.
All right, Carolyn, you've had some time. What do you think?
Okay, so I will tell you that the book that I'm reading right now, which is The Everything Store about Amazon, despite the fact that Amazon, well, the one that Jeff said is also about Amazon, the best service is no service, but this one's a little bit more about sort of the Jeff Bezos story. And what I've sort of learned from that, from the customer's perspective side, is that like he doesn't want to have any contact with customers, but he still manages to make it the central focus of how they make their decisions. So it's a completely different way of thinking of a customer-centric business, and like it's interesting because I don't think he personally would probably, you know, here reading what I read about him, would probably deliver like really delightful service, because it sounds like he's kind of an asshole sometimes. But his sort of obsession with making sure that every decision is based on like the long-term view for the customer actually has made me think about some of the things that we do at Buffer a little bit differently. So I don't know if I would call it a top book, but it is interesting from that perspective. And it provides sort of the opposite perspective from Tony Hsieh's book. It might be a good one.
I love how you're like, yeah, it might be a good one. Yeah, you know, you gotta throw it in.
I'm only 70% of the way through it. So.
Oh, that last 30% just knocks it off the off
maybe,
your list.
Maybe. I don't want to present it if I'm not in totally good conscience.
But. At 71%, he pushes a customer into a puddle and then steps on them.
Yep.
I would not be surprised.
Spoiler alert.
If he thought that customer was stupid.
Oh, I would say go out and pick up a copy of The Thank You Economy, just because it's a good book, and because Jeff stole mine too. So
yeah. Also, now that I know I'm not stealing anyone else's, the co-support book, the customer, oh dear God, the customer support handbook.
You're in it. How did you not know the name?
I don't know the names of books. What do you think? I read them. I read this one on the plane, and it's excellent. It's much more straightforward than I think any of the books that have been mentioned,
yep,
including the ones I mentioned. So check that one out.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody mentioned that, because I've been pimping it out for like the last two or three episodes, so didn't want to bring it up again.
It's very, very good. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, let's see. Last question for the day. This is good. We made it through all of them and didn't spend like 2 hours doing this. This is awesome. So, Chase Livingstone, we're going to start with you on this one. Jesse asks, what's the best music to have on when answering emails, or in your case, answering live chats?
That's tough, because it all depends on your taste, I guess. But there's a good playlist that I like to put on that Spotify curates. I think it's called Your Favorite Coffee House. It's just kind of mellow, like what you would hear in a coffee house, and I like having that on in the background a lot of times. Honestly, I don't listen to music that often when I'm doing tickets. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but the coffee house playlist is pretty good.
Do you listen to podcasts while you answer?
I do, yeah, I do.
It's incredible.
Wow,
he told me that before. I don't understand.
My brain does not work that way. That's amazing.
Now, when I listen to a podcast, it's got to be like I'm driving the car or I'm on the lawnmower, like nothing else going on. Jeff, what's your go-to music?
I think I'm in Chase's boat. I don't know that I'm normally listening to music when I'm answering tickets. Probably hip-hop of some kind. Just keep yourself kind of like moving a little bit. I think that you want to keep your energy up, because you want to, like I said before, like match or exceed your customer's energy level when they write into you. I don't have a particular favorite kind of music. I think it's a great question. I just don't have a good answer for it.
So no like sad, depressing Sarah McLachlan ASPCA commercial thing?
Oh, the more interpretive dance type of music that you can get on, like Enya or that kind of thing, I think the better you're going to be.
You just take that Enya and channel it into your email.
Put it right in your email. Yep.
Carolyn, what do you listen to? What's your best music for this?
Yeah, I'm going to second Jeff on this one.
Enya? You're going with Enya?
No. I do prefer like some sort of hip hop, something really upbeat to stay energized, because I think it really does affect the way you write. I also really, I've given it a shout out before, I really love Lindsey Stirling, which doesn't have lyrics. It's just violin and probably other things like that. And it is a beat too for being like that type of music. But yeah, then I don't get distracted singing along. So that's a good one too.
Well, I mean, now that you've got your standing desk and everything at your house, if you sing along, then, you know, at least Leo and them aren't looking at you weird.
Right. It's important, though. You have to be able to, like, bebop and dance along, too. So standing desk all the way.
Although I will say, I've been in my wife's studio today, and there was Disney's Let It Go coming through the walls. And if I hear that song one more time, I might just, I don't know. That song needs to stop. Just needs to stop. But for me, playlist I've had on all day, especially after kind of a hectic morning and everything, anything from the 70s. You know, the 70s were a great, great decade with lots of great music in them. Eagles, Bob Seger, that kind of thing. So that's what I listen to. But I would say, Carolyn, I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it. What was that app that you talked about and then we made fun of and then I started using with the music that was like your own personal like curated DJ thing? Like you get up, it's the morning and you just take a shower and you want like hip hop to
yeah,
remember that?
Songza.
Yeah,
so great for that.
Yes, we made fun of it and then I was like, wait, this is actually a pretty good thing.
Yeah, so. It's great. It's so creepy. It's like, oh, it's like mid-morning, are you like having a coffee break? You're like, yes. The other one I was going to actually mention is also calm.com. Which has some music options that it's also kind of like background noisy, or like the other one is Coffitivity and like other things that make sort of background noise things that are just sort of designed to keep you focused.
We need to like create a Spotify playlist from Carolyn and Jeff's soundtracks and just like share it.
Yeah.
Because I would say I would include Chase's podcast, but that just, I don't know how to do that. So.
Yeah.
Just don't. Oh, so that's all the questions that we had. This first rapid fire went well, right, guys? This was fun.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Good
questions. Got through all of them. Got through all of them. So that wraps that up, and that brings us to this week's fun part. It's this week's shout outs. I love Jeff's face every time. Every time. I look to him to draw inspiration. You know,
I do my best.
So we'll start with Chase Livingston on this one. What's your shout out this week?
I picked up a 12 South backpack this weekend, and it's the little aluminum shelf that you can attach to the back of an iMac or a Thunderbolt display or something like that. And so I attached it, and then I have my MacBook Air that I actually just kind of sit back there on it and plug up so that I can save quite a bit of desk space. That way and have room for other things or a writing surface. So it's a pretty neat little gadget. You should definitely check it out if you need to save some space.
Jeff, what have you got for us this week?
This is sort of a follow-up from a previous shout-out, but Samuel Hulick is publishing his book. Samuel is the user onboard
fella. I remember him.
Yes, his book, which is called The Elements of User Onboarding, if I remember correctly, is coming out soon. I have read the book. It is going to be excellent. I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast are going to enjoy it.
So you remember the name of that book, but the book you're in.
Well, you know, a little story on that one. Sarah and I were arguing back and forth about what the name should be. And it was stuck in my head of what the name I thought it should be.
Which
was The World According to Jeff. I guess at the last minute, she just ignored my advice and went with her own title. And I just blocked her title out of my copy of that book. I have her title crossed out and my name written in.
I think you should write that book.
I would buy that book.
I will do my best. It's called The Everything Store. It's actually about me.
It's about a jerk who believes in customer service. Wait.
Yep.
And then pushes a person into a puddle.
Into a puddle.
That's how I knew it was at 71%. I'm actually reading that book right now, but I'm not as far as Carolyn.
It's so interesting if you've read the Tony Hsieh book first, because the way they present the Zappos sale to Amazon is so different. Sorry, carry on.
Now I have to go out and buy this book. Carolyn, what's your shout out?
My shout out. So I have a shout out this week. I'm so excited. I've known it for days. So I'm hoping that nobody else has previously shouted out to this app, but it's called LifeCap.
Oh.
Have you heard about this? Oh, no? Yes?
Did you not watch last week's show?
Oh.
No, I'm just messing. Totally joking. Totally joking.
Okay. I have it saved to watch. You saw my inbox right now. You would not be happy. But so LifeCap is a way that you can sort of really quickly record an animated GIF. And that's kind of a fun pairing or a substitution for an 8-point list of click here and then click there. And it's a really easy way to send customers sort of a visual without sending a whole actual video, which I think can be a little bit bulky. And so that app paired with Cloud App, so you can just still send a link, is really great. And we've been having a lot of fun with it in our sort of in our welcome emails and all this stuff, right? We're just sort of playing around with it. But it seems like it could be a really useful way to send customers instructions.
I love it. I use it all the time. Same thing in conjunction with the Cloud App. It's just so easy. So super easy. My shout out is one that Chase Livingston and I were talking about earlier. If you're like us and want to hang out with like-minded support people in chat room all day, on IRC there's a new support channel for it for people like us. So log into your IRC favorite chat app, whatever, and go to its hashtag support squared, right, Chase?
Yep.
Support squared. I'll put the show notes. Put all the links in the show notes. Come hang out with us and just chat about support things if you can't get enough of your support fill on this show. So that's all the shout outs. We'll have all the links up at supportops.co shortly. That puts this hang out in the books. Thanks guys for participating in the rapid fire. I'm glad when I was like, hey, let's do this show, nobody was like, no, let's not, that's a bad idea. So it was fun enough that we'll probably do again in the next couple of months. Other than that, I'm Chase. We'll see you again next week.